Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son, sending him into the world to be given up for men.
Just about done wiggling around there. It's good to see you back again tonight. Some of you have asked about my family, so I thought I'd say a few things before I get started. I've been married to Betsy about 38 years. We met through Campus Crusade for Christ at Michigan State University. We're both heavily involved in the student ministry there. Then she went on to be on staff at the University of Southern California, first with Athletes in Action, and then on campus staff. That went on for about 3 years, and some of that overlapped with my time at Dallas Seminary. Then she came to be with me during an engagement year. We got married and then did the last couple of years of seminary. We have three kids. Joe is 30 years old. He was married last summer, lives in a Detroit suburb of Grosse Pointe Farms. There is our daughter was married about 3 years ago, and she delivered grandbaby number one, Nolan, this last leap year. So interesting, February 29th. His dad was hoping to make it through to the next day, but that's not what happened. So February the 29th it is. And then we have Abby, who is single, and she is a pediatric nurse in Indianapolis at Peyton Manning Children's Hospital. Betsy was trained right. She was raised, she's from Detroit area, raised as a Detroit Tiger fan. And we have the Michigan State Spartans in common. I know you love them. And we've seen a lot of games with the Badgers, sometimes cheering deliriously, other times tearing our hair out. But we do a lot of travel around to follow the Spartans in football and basketball as well. So it's kind of fun, and we're in a good stage in life. Our kids have grown up and they're still our friends. And we value that greatly and appreciate it. The time when the gospel was welcome in North America has passed. We are now experiencing a period where on campus the scriptures are not welcome. Campus Crusade, Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship have difficulty having access. In the days when I was in school, Campus Crusade people could come right into the dorms. You'd walk up and down the hall sharing the gospel. Now, very, very difficult. You know that in some workplaces, a person can get fired for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moody Seminary is in Chicago, but we have a branch campus. We've had a merger with Michigan Theological Seminary, which is over near Detroit. And our students there often go across the bridge at Windsor into Canada. They have been warned there that they should not speak against homosexuality lest they be accused of hate language and be subject to arrest. At Wheaton College, near where I live, this spring there was a professor who said that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. And although she was suspended and ultimately dismissed, really through a very patient process, this made national news. You may have heard it here. It's not the best time for the gospel in North America. So the question is, how should we respond to that? Should we be discouraged? Should we bow our heads? Should we drag along worried about it? What should our response be? Well, The Apostle Paul was certainly not discouraged by opposition to the gospel. He took beatings. He took abuse. He lost a family. He lost a career. We talked about this in the first message. He was not discouraged, even though he was in a place of confinement. Imagine a person with that sort of energy who had traveled the then known world to preach the gospel, and he is confined to a house, and he is manacled to a soldier through the day. But he is not discouraged, and he did not want the Philippians to be discouraged. And if he were to speak to us, he would not want for us to be discouraged either. That's what we're going to talk about today, why we should not be discouraged by opposition to the gospel, why we should not be dismayed when Christ is opposed. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We'll be examining verses 12 through 18. Why is it that we should not be discouraged by opposition to the gospel? Well, first we find that we should not be discouraged because the gospel cannot be stopped. We should not be dismayed because the purposes of the gospel will be carried out. Now consider with me verses 12 and 13. I want you to know, brothers, brethren, it includes women, it's Christian family idea, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Is that so? You took beatings. You suffered indignities. You had charges leveled against you which weren't really true. You were sent to Rome on appeal. That might have saved your life, but now you are under house arrest. And he says this has served for the advancement of the gospel. How can that be? So that it has become known through the whole imperial guard. The guy manacled to Paul, what do you think he heard? You know what he heard. He heard it again and again. He might have said, shut up. No more, but more came. What can he say? I'm going to give you a beating? Well, had that before. How many shifts were there a day? Two or three? Several men. And they had in time to be impressed. What do you talk about? Hey, you're the one that's manacled to the nut, aren't you? Yeah, you aren't kidding. What does he say? Well, he talks about this Jesus guy. He said, died on the cross, rose again from the dead. Oh, man, he talks about this all the time. He won't shut up. And this message was going out because the guards talked. The guards talked. And there in that place, there were 9,000 crack Roman troops, the Praetorian Guard, who were charged with taking care of the palace. And they were security for the aristocracy. And through that whole group shot the gospel. The gospel. People, I suspect, were being saved. At least they were hearing. And where did those soldiers go then? Throughout the whole world. So you can manacle the apostle, but you cannot manacle the gospel. It cannot be stopped. So why drag around, Christian? Paul would probably say to us, it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Oh, imprisoned for crimes against the government. Imprisoned for saying things that shouldn't be said. No, it's really imprisonment for Christ. It is for Jesus that Paul was in the slammer. No other reason. He had done nothing wrong. He had broken no laws. He was an honorable man, upright, but he was in jail for Jesus. These are difficult circumstances, but nevertheless, he says, the gospel cannot be stopped. Think of this. These guards were also next to royalty. Did they ever dare say something to them? Perhaps. We do not know. But this gospel cannot be stopped. Now remember this, if you will, that for a generation we evangelicals have been the favored sons in our country. Every Republican around has wanted our votes. And when those Republicans have been elected, we have been treated very well, better than almost anyone else. So now that we're not the favored sons, don't get so uptight about it. We're just like about everybody else in the world has become. The amens are faint. You don't like the favored son idea, but it was true. But now it is not true. It is not true now. We are like our brothers and sisters all through the world. And we're prone to discouragement because of this. We ought not be discouraged because no matter what any governmental authority tries to do, the gospel cannot be stopped. Thomas Oden studied the persecution of Cuban believers under Fidel Castro. And they suffered a range of indignities, some as relatively small as not gaining admission to any universities because they would not sign up for the Communist Party. But sometimes it became as extreme as being imprisoned. When their supporters in Europe fell, and you know communism, some people say it fell, right? But it did for a while. You've noticed it's kind of regaining. Things in people's heart don't change. Communism is a matter of the heart. It's not just, it does never go away. But anyway, it lost power. And when communism fell for a while, Cuba went into poverty, but the church boomed. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of converts because Christians spoke up. They kept speaking despite the persecution. So the gospel cannot be stopped. Clearly, now some of this is attitude today. We need to understand that we are people who are to advance the gospel, not our own agendas. I warn you, when I speak, Republicans think I'm a Democrat. Democrats think I'm a Republican. I've had it both ways. It is idolatry to plan on being delivered by a government. It's not happening. How's our country gone? Okay, both parties have had quite a long opportunity to turn things around. How did they do? No, but sometimes we keep depending on someone to turn us around from a throne in a state legislature or in Washington. I don't know that it will ever happen again. We must have a great awakening. We must have a great awakening. I think it's our only hope. But the gospel itself, that's another thing. The gospel does not promise to reform governments. The gospel does not promise to reform countries. The promise of the gospel is to save souls. And you know, you can have a good conservative government with people going to hell. So the gospel, it keeps going forth and it keeps succeeding in individual lives, just as it was succeeding in some of the Praetorian Guard, just as it was succeeding as they went around the world on their missions, even on their conquests. There would be some talk about Jesus, because, specifically because, Paul was in prison. So sometimes the gospel doesn't just go out despite persecution, it goes out because of it. It goes out because of it. So think with me today, if you will, about difficult circumstances that come into your life because of the gospel. Paul's in difficult circumstances, isn't he? Maybe your difficult circumstance is that you become ill and you need to be hospitalized. You at that moment are God's missionary to the hospital staff, to your nurses, your doctors, the custodian, to whoever comes in to care for you. That's your field. Perhaps you are the one Bible banger in your family. And when that reunion comes around, that is not a very pleasant time because you're the only one talking about the rapture and all that other stuff. They say, gobbledygook. No. But you, in that difficulty, in that hard place where there's not really support for you, you're God's missionary there. That's your place to shine. You may have a work environment that is not very pleasant at all, but that's a place for you to shine. You may be lonely. You may have lost a mate, a wife, or a husband. But this is your opportunity to reach out and make new relationships and perhaps lead someone to the Lord Jesus. We need to think of our difficulties as opportunities for the gospel. The gospel, it can't be stopped. And so we ought not be so discouraged as we are. Here I go again. I shouldn't say these things, but I'm going to. No matter what Fox News says, the gospel can't be stopped. I watch it too, don't worry. You watch that stuff long enough and it'll get you down. But I'll tell you what, the gospel can't be stopped. The gospel can't be stopped. The gospel can't be stopped. So we should not be discouraged by it. Now, there's another thing we see here, another reason we shouldn't be discouraged, and that is that opposition to the gospel actually emboldens other believers. When we see opposition, it makes us all the more fierce for Christ. This is verse 14. He speaks now of brothers. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We don't know exactly who these brothers were, but Paul was aware that the fact of his imprisonment had fired some people up. You read about this, and it fires us up. Paul says there are people who specifically, when they hear about me being in the slammer, are they discouraged? No, they're not. They're on fire because of it. They are on fire because of it. They see somebody like Paul who is going through difficulty and he's being brave. In this letter, there's never any complaint. I have a bad room. The food's lousy. The company, they don't bathe very well. There's not a complaint in the book. Can you imagine? There's not a complaint. There is only bravery. There is holding up under the pressures, under the difficulty. There is actually now, because of the opposition, more boldness. So we shouldn't be discouraged. When we hear stories about the boldness of our brothers and sisters in this church, or the boldness of our, or the difficulties of our brothers and sisters around the world, it serves to fire us up. As a young man, I knew in one of the churches where I was, who was applying for medical school. And at this time, there was on the admission papers a question, would you perform abortions, elective abortions? Well, he knew he was going to sign a no on that. I will not. And we anticipated that he might be rejected from medical school. So his dream was to be in medicine. His dream was to serve the Lord. His dream was to be a doctor. But he was willing to lay that on the line. No way am I going to give up on the Lord Jesus Christ to get into medical school. No, he wrote, I will not do this. Now, I left the church and went into ministry. It was my seminary church. I don't know what the end of the story is. But you know, that was very encouraging to me. That difficulty, I said, boy, that guy can do that. I don't know if I need a whole lot of encouragement, but that is a very good example. It's a very good example for us. People who lay their jobs on the line, lay their futures on the line for Jesus, it fires everybody else up. So today, remember this, the church becomes bold through persecution. That does not mean necessarily that the gospel spreads more during persecution. Actually, sometimes it does the best in peace. But sometimes in difficult circumstances, the saints of God are encouraged by the sufferings of others. And today, as we look at the persecuted church, you can go to persecutedchurch.com, right? And you can learn what Christians around the world are enduring. And I think when we do that, we're going to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, we can't pray in public schools. Really? Can they read your mind? You can pray any place you want to. The gospel can't be stopped. The gospel can't be stopped in the neighborhood. And maybe when you're in a difficult circumstance and you keep on for the Lord, somebody else is going to look at that and they're going to follow your example. Wouldn't that be great? So we should not be discouraged when the gospel is opposed, because it can't be stopped. And when it's opposed, it makes other people bolder. The other reason, the final reason tonight, we're going to see here why the gospel, opposition to it shouldn't discourage us, is that perversion of the gospel cannot stop its effectiveness. The gospel is not dependent on the faithfulness of the people speaking it. Look with me, if you will, to these last verses, 15 through 18. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry. There were people who were preaching Christ for themselves. They wanted more notches in their belt. Our church has 550. What's the size of your church? Now, when somebody asks me what the size of my church is, that says more about them than it does about my church. Do you have big churchitis? Are you starting to feel that you're a little, really something? You start preaching for rivalry. You want to get people in. You'll start saying things that just make more people come to church. And if that's your goal, you're in trouble. But more and more come, and maybe there's less and less commitment. But there were people there preaching out of rivalry, but others for goodwill. But it was the same gospel. Note here, the key is the motive. Why is the preaching taking place? Some wanted to build an empire. Some wanted to show that they were better than Paul. Why should Paul get all this attention? He's not that hot. We're just as good as he is. We may speak better than he does. We may be more dynamic than he is. And Paul chose not to get into that. Other than to warn the Philippians, he didn't want that kind of person going in and perverting them. But he says this, the latter do it out of love. So he turns this, doesn't he? He starts with those who don't have the right motive, and then to those that do have the right motive, and then to the attitude of those that have the right motive. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. So they keep preaching. They keep supporting Paul. They keep copying what he has done for them. They encourage. But the former, they proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. A person can stand in a place like I'm standing today and do it all for themselves. We can't look into the heart of a preacher. No one can look into your heart. No, a person can make a Sunday school class their dominion. Who knows why it's being preached? Who knows why they're saying what they say? They are doing it, the text says, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. So this same gospel, one group has the motive of encouraging Paul and going forth with the gospel that he has taught them. The other group wants to discourage. They want to compete. They want to build their own kingdoms. What then, he says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, in that I rejoice. The power of the gospel is in the gospel, not in the preacher. So there were people with perverted motives. They preached the gospel and people got saved. There were people with good motives and they preached the gospel and people got saved. Either way, people were coming to know Christ because the power is in the gospel, not in the preacher. We have gone through in our country the televangelist scandals. We had Jimmy Baker, Tammy Faye, then we had Jimmy Swaggart, who in these situations they were charlatans. But you know, they got the gospel out there and people were saved. Jimmy Swaggart was in immorality, but he preached the gospel and people got saved. More recently, we've had people who have said, love wins, and they're saying that hell is not eternal. And even though this gospel goes out, it's heresy, in their overall ministry, there's still people being saved because there's some truth in the gospel being proclaimed. Now, certainly that part is not true. The gospel cannot be stopped because an individual has perverted motives. So now think today with me, if you will. How about your motives? I think they're pretty good. You know, the gospel has great power in it. Here's a little truth that I think you probably all know. If you wait for your motives to be absolutely pure in every way, you'll probably never share the gospel once in your whole life. Because we at our core are depraved individuals and our motives are questionable. Not like those evangelists and not like these who deliberately go out and torment a person like Paul. So what's going to happen to the church in the United States? Who knows? The torch has seemed to pass from Germany. Do you know in Germany it was once fire? Fire, right? The Reformation. And then France, the torch has passed. Then England, the torch has passed. Is it our turn? I don't know. But I think that we can say in the future that it's going to be a little bit more difficult to preach the gospel than it is now. I don't know. That might be not true. God might smile upon us and there'll be a great revival. But I know this, you must not depend on anything but the gospel. God's Holy Spirit, if he is so inclined, can pour out on our nation revival, but that will come through the scriptures. No other way. If we're depending on politicians, it's kind of that. I think it's going to be a long, hot summer. I say, help us, Lord. But it's time for God's people to know and believe wholeheartedly that only the gospel can have the effect that glorifies Christ. Only the gospel, not politics. No, 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 no. Am I making my point? It's a no. The gospel. The gospel can't be stopped. So I'd say quit dragging around if you are. And when the gospel gets opposed, just keep going. They tell you to stop, go. They want to discourage you, don't be discouraged. Really, they can stop an individual preacher, but they can't stop the gospel. The gospel is going to go on. Every time they put a hit on us, on a brother or sister, we get bolder. So, I saw that they could take that. I saw that they could lay it on the line. I saw that they could suffer the loss of some money. I see they could suffer the loss of some status. I'm going to do that myself. And then you can look at all of those who fall in the pulpit. And it's a shame when it happens. It's really a shame. You need to pray for people who are preaching the gospel. I think there are a lot of targets. It's a little harder than it used to be to preach because of the attitudes of some people have too. They think the church is to serve them instead of them serving Christ through the church. It's getting a little more difficult to preach. But you know, no matter what the motive is of that preacher, when he speaks the word of Christ, people get saved because there's power in the scripture. Jesus is at work, and he is going to save those that are meant to be saved. Nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. Every last one that Christ has an eye on will be saved. It's up to us to be a conduit for the gospel, to be those like Paul who do not give up under any circumstance, who infiltrate, and when we have an opportunity, we share Christ the Lord without reservation. Praise the Lord. Don't droop around. The gospel cannot be stopped. Let's pray. Father, give us encouragement in this time when culture has changed. Help us have confidence not in ourselves, not in our connections, not in our privileges, but through the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, my Father, in his day.